Amp Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, brought to you by Lavassi International. Lavassi International is bringing masculine designs to your bathroom. Lavassi is the exclusive retailer of handcrafted ceramic sink, combining a handmade manufacturing process with an industrial finish. If you're looking for something different, check out their tribal design, spike design, or puzzle design, just to name a few. Lavassi International, lavassi.co.uk. Let me spell that for you. LOVASI.co.UK. Now shipping to the United States of America and Canada. Use the code word FANGOS to receive 25% off any purchase. Now back to the show.
Here we go!
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen, we are...
Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, another MMA podcast. Coming at you this morning, I am indeed the DJ and the PJ. As we're coming at you this morning from the mean streets of Danville, California, the Amp Studios in Danville, California, Proteus. And of course, the snowy streets, and we'll get into the weather that is in Brantford as the Amp International has been swarmed with snow, and we are in April, right, Proteus? This is April?
We are.
Well, I have a funny story to tell you. So Proteus and I were texting yesterday morning about doing the show and the fact that we hadn't seen all the fights at that point. So he was texting me and saying, hey, can you believe this? Snow all over Brantford. I sent him a picture of the clear skies of Danville, California. Wouldn't you know it, Proteus, about 6 p.m. it started raining.
Ha ha. That makes me feel better about
myself,
because when you sent me that picture, I was so jealous of the clean blue skies.
I got caught in the rain, too.
Oh, did you have a top down?
That's a great... No, I actually was walking around looking at landscaping ideas.
Got it.
Unfortunately, we're going to start doing some work around the house. So, and of course, I got hit with rain and just my Amp hoodie, which, by the way, is not well water repellent. Let's throw that out there.
It is not.
We're coming at you, of course. It is not. The UFC on Fox 29, also known as Poirier versus Gaethje, held, of course, April 14th on Pete Rose's birthday at the Gila River Arena in Glendale, Arizona. Total attendance, Proteus, even though it looked sparse in the prelims, etc., it was 11,382. Total gate a little over a million. It was a pretty loud crowd, right? Once the Gaethje Poirier fight started going, that was actually an exciting fight, but we always talk about Gaethje. How long can he fight like that? I do want to get into, you know, we've never done this before, Proteus, but I do want to get into a couple birthdays. So some of our listeners sent DMs about their birthdays. So this one's going to first go to, to Tennessee we go. Dixie Normus. Happy birthday, Dixie Normus. Wait a second here. All right. You know what? Scratch that one. I'm not sure that's a real one. Let's go to this one, because this one for sure has to be correct. Huge erection. Happy birthday, huge erection. All right, never mind. This is not what this bit is not working. All right. Well, we are your home, of course, for free unedited combat knowledge and bad jokes, so I'll give myself crickets on that one. All right, Proteus, let's get into it, because we saw UFC 223, although the star power had diminished, still a really, really good card, even though it was a pay-per-view. This one, of course, a freebie, yeah. UFC on Fox 29. Initial thoughts, Proteus, on how do you think the card went in general?
Well, I mean...
Was it worth your investment?
Well, yeah, sure. Free and live. I mean, if you're an MMA fan and you like the UFC, you're going to be watching this one. But again, there is a lot of fights on this card. I mean, there was six just on the early fight prelims, if you're the inside watching those. And then, of course, four fights on the prelim or the prelim card, and then four fights on the main card. So if you didn't watch the early prelims, maybe you got out of there a little bit earlier, a little bit faster. But yeah, all around, pretty good card. Kind of, I mean, the third fight of the night, kind of, you know, on the main card, kind of, it was a bit of a mismatch in my opinion. So, and one thing I wanted to say as well, Tony, before we get into it, I had trouble. I left the sound on for most of the main event, but I had a lot of trouble listening to the commentary team. They just didn't seem to work well together on this particular card. It seemed like maybe they were both trying to give us way too much information than we actually needed.
Do you think any of it has to do with, and I'm a huge fan of Dominic Cruz, do you think it has right. to do with the fact that there's a little bit of animosity or maybe an alpha dog thing going between Dominic and DC?
It could have been because, like, they were talking over each other. And again, yes, I'm fine with DC and Dominic on their own when they're with Joe Rogan. I actually like them in that particular spot. But like you said, they may have been a little alpha dogging because, yeah, they both were trying to get their information out. And, you know, you could even see Dominic Cruz in the background at one point during one of the fights, you know, say, oh, sorry, DC, and he's patting him on the shoulder. You go right ahead. So, yeah, I don't know what it was, but I found it actually kind of distracting, to be honest.
I didn't even think about it until you just said it, but kind of, right? It's Yeah, I guess I didn't think about it for the first time. Now, I have excellent hearing, thank God. That's probably the only thing that I have that's excellent. And I usually blast the TV. I really do. For whatever reason, maybe it was my wife just getting on me. Maybe the fact that we were actually having a conversation. But I wasn't blasting the TV. So, but now that you're thinking about it, yeah, it was probably a little distracting. The lightweight fight, we go, Proteus, to the main event, and kind of thought I thought it went the route that I thought it would go, just in reverse, because Poirier is just so slow with his punches, and I thought he was getting destroyed early. I think it was in the third round. I thought he would eventually go down, but Gaethje never lets us down, boy. You know how Luke Thomas always says, "Hands up, chin down." How about it?
Yep.
Hands down, chin up. Good Lord. Proteus, let's get to it. Dustin Poirier defeats Justin Gaethje, fourth round, 33 seconds in, TKO. What say you?
Well, as you had mentioned, I think everybody kind of thought that it was going to go Justin's way. And I'll update everybody on what happened with Smack My Picks up on Thursday and a little bit later in the show. But yeah, I thought that Justin was going to get, you know, dragged into a brawl. But he didn't. He ended up keeping his composure. He was throwing some shots, you know, in the second and third with a little bit too much reckless abandonment for me, as I thought. But of course, Gaethje was just munching up that lead leg. And of course, we said something like this when we saw the Rose and Yolana fight from 223. You know, if you're leaving that lead leg out there, it's going to get chewed up by a good kicker. And we saw that from Gaethje 100%. I thought Gaethje's performance was a little bit lackluster, though, besides the fact of the leg kicks. I thought Poirier really looked good. Maybe, like you said, this might have been a little bit of a slower fight, but Poirier's punches were really crisp and clean, and he was really making Gaethje pay with that right hook right from the first round. And I saw a lot of people complaining about the stoppage in this one. I thought this was completely justified, this stoppage. I don't think Justin Gaethje needed to take any more punishment than he already was. I understand we were seeing a pretty good slugfest, but Poirier deserved that win, and impressive as it was.
That's the funny thing. If anyone was complaining about the stoppage, I thought maybe it could have been stopped, not joking, a second or two earlier, because it was, you know, once he starts doing those Bambi legs, you know, those legs that when you're on skates, I think it's time to, I mean, we've seen people get out of it, but more often than not, people will go down. And let me ask you this, what's next for Poirier and what's next for Gaethje? And I'm not trying to have you fill in Sean Shelby's shoes, but I guess I kind of am, right? Everyone, well, not everyone. Dustin Poirier was talking about him fighting Khabib Why do I fall into that trap every single time, Proteus? I know it's Khabib, and some I always go Khabib, but I think there are way too many fights to set up, and I think maybe a Poirier Khabib fight is probably the one of the last on your list. What say you? What's next for Poirier and Gaethje?
Well, I mean, we know that Ramadan is coming up, so it doesn't really make sense to put Poirier in against Nurmi because Poirier is going to have to wait probably longer than he wants to wait. I mean, he's going to have some serious healing up time, but Poirier has to go up in the division. You know, he has to advance, definitely. I don't know. He looked good in this fight, but didn't look like I would fancy his chances, or I wouldn't really like him in a fight against Nurmi. I wouldn't take those odds. I wouldn't take that bet. Gaethje is going to be one of these guys that the UFC loves until they have to Chuck Liddell him, you know, and basically retire him from competition.
Good
because
call.
Anybody who's going to should provide those kinds of fights. And then afterwards, you know, when you're talking to him after the fight and he says, you know, win or lose, I just hope you were entertained. That kind of stuff is the stuff that the UFC lives for. Those kind of fighters are right in their wheelhouse, so to speak. So you throw Gaethje in there against anybody. Again, I don't think a loss here really hurts him, to be honest with you. I think that the next fight for Poirier, in my opinion, has to be that Eddie Alvarez fight. We need to see that happen again,
whether or not
Eddie Alvarez wants it or not. I don't believe Eddie has got anything scheduled just yet. Just let me look it up real quick. No, there's nothing scheduled for Eddie at this time. So, I mean, again, that one needs to be run back, in my opinion. It was obviously a disqualification, or, you know, knees to a downed opponent. So, yeah, give him that. And as for Gaethje, you throw him into another dogfight, you know, give him another tough fighter, maybe a guy come on the way up, you know, a lesser guy in the rankings who's maybe coming off a good win. You feed him to Gaethje and you see what happens. Two losses in a row for Gaethje in this particular point in time, I don't think is all that scary for him. If we do see him, you know, in a bad way, like I said, Tony, I mean, his future may not be long, as we've said on this particular program many times. So, but yeah, the UFC loves this fight. They love fighters like Justin Gaethje, and, you know, the sky's the limit for him as long as he doesn't take too much damage.
You know what? I have a feeling that his career is going to be short-lived, and it's unfortunate because I think Justin is a better all-around fighter, skilled-wise, than Dustin Poirier. The difference is that Justin is Dustin without the D. I got nothing. No defense?
I was having...
Okay. All right. I get it. Yeah. That one bombed. All right. But definitely, come on. Can you please cover up, or at least not just take a blow, move your head a little? I mean, do something.
Yeah.
Brain trauma. This guy's and the funny thing is, Proteus, he's a smart man. It's like, can you please try?
So, well, and Dustin Poirier was, those shots were hard that he's hitting him with. I some of them were, made me go, oh man, that was a hard hit, you know. And again, you can't take those hard hits for the rest of your life. And as I said earlier, just ask Chuck Liddell.
Yeah, and you know, Justin Gaethje, for whatever reason, and I think he was an All-American in terms of wrestling, he refuses to wrestle. Don't know where that comes from. I do want to ask you this, Dustin Poirier. Think about his recent run. Right, beat Gaethje, beat Anthony Pettis, but keep in mind that was a rib injury, or Pettis basically taking the night off. Eddie Alvarez, I thought that was a pretty good fight. I thought, you know, it was certainly competitive. I obviously was ended by an illegal blow, but I thought Poirier was probably winning that fight. Jim Miller, decision, loses, of course, to Johnson, loses to McGregor, loses to Swanson. Let me ask you this. The Dustin Poirier today of 2018, do you think he's a better fighter than the Dustin Poirier of 2016, 15, or 14? Because I don't. I think he's the same fighter. What say you?
I think his game has improved. I think his boxing game has become a lot more crisp. watching him against Gaethje was you know, confirming that for me. But Dustin is kind of, you know, the prototypical, you know, fighter. Like he has been relatively similar most of his career. Dude, I cannot believe how big he looks at 155, though. I mean, he was larger than Justin Gaethje was in this particular fight. Of course, we know Justin doesn't like to cut weight, so he fights around 155 anyways. But Dustin was just looked so much bigger than him. And that's, I think, if there's one thing that I have to say about Dustin in the comparison between him in 2016 and now, is the fact that he is fighting at a more comfortable weight for him. I think that he's looked a lot better at 55. And of course, his win streak in that division speaks for itself, you know, not counting the Eddie Alvarez could not continue, and the Michael Johnson fight. But I think, yeah, he has improved. Long story short, to me, he has improved. And of course, two fight of the nights in a row followed, actually three, if you don't include the Eddie Alvarez fight. So he's got to be doing something right, Tony.
That's true. Well, good call. And we'll mainly go over the main card. We'll glance over some of the cards on the prelims. Frankly, there were just too many fights. Let's fly through this. You know what? Let's just read off the prelims quickly. Gilbert Burns defeated Dan Morey, KO. Lauren Mueller, you want to look her up, Proteus, defeated Shayna Dodson. And that was a unanimous decision. That was one of those bathroom fights, as Pam likes to say. Yushin Okami defeated Diego Lima via decision. Diego Lima looking good in spurts, but not all the time. Adam Swierczurek, I butchered his last name, defeats Arjun Bueller. That was a submission. Uma Plata, Alejandro Perez. Boy, what's wrong with me today? Alejandro Perez. I am indeed the DJ and the PJs without coffee right now. Proteus defeats Matthew Lopez, TKO. I thought that fight was really one-sided. And Luke Sanders, I didn't say Saunders this time, defeated Patrick Williams via decision. Interesting, because he's a free agent. Let's go to the co-main event. And my heart goes out to Carlos Condit, Proteus, but I think he's done. Alex Oliveira defeats Carlos Condit. And I thought Carlos Condit, honestly, was fighting pretty decent in the first two rounds. 3 minutes and 17 seconds in, Carlos Condit, I think, gets careless and gets submitted via guillotine. I'm going to throw to you, Proteus. What say you?
Yeah, I wasn't really impressed with Condit's performance either. I mean, when he went back to the corner after the first round, his cornermen seemed very pleased with what he was doing. I mean, he took Oliveira down, if I remember correctly, and started to work some game from the ground. And they traded back and forth, I believe, shots in the first on the feet. And then in the second, Oliveira, I believe, caught Condit with an elbow and really rocked him and cut his head open pretty severely. I mean, that probably had a lot to do with where Carlos Condit, you know, didn't know where he was in the octagon. Like you said, got careless, gave up his back, ended up getting choked out, which was really weird as well. I mean, Dominic Cruz was on the call saying, oh, Condit's still working. And then, you know, just right after that, we see Condit tap, and there seemed to have been some controversy here that maybe Condit was out and then came back to life again and then tapped. I don't know. A very strange kind of ending. You're talking about Carlos Condit, though. Yeah, I wasn't very impressed. And kind of the same thing that happened in the first fight that we saw in his return. Just didn't seem to have any fire. Like Marco mentioned this on Thursday, I believe. Just didn't seem to have anything. He just was in there on autopilot, like he was in a sparring or something like that. And kind of had that feel again for me on Saturday. I don't know that he's all into it like he used to be in his early days of fighting. And I don't know, Tony, I mean, we say this all the time, we're not into retiring people, but I don't know if Carlos Condit owes us anything either. You know what I mean? Maybe he thinks he owes himself something by continuing to fight. He says he loves it and he loves doing it, win or lose, but I don't know. You just can't keep him at the top of that division if he's going to continue to lose, and especially to a guy on short notice, of course, very talented striker in Oliveira and tricky all-around fighter. But I don't know, man, just on name appeal alone, is he's going to sell fights, and I don't know if that's enough for me.
I got to ask you this. because we talk about, and you're right, we always steal the John Anik line, we're not here to retire people. Well, we're not in the business of retiring fighters. Carlos Condit today is not the natural born killer any longer. He's just not. Whether his heart's into it, I'm sure some of it is just diminishing body, right? I mean, you lose something, speed, everything, as you get older. What percentage do you think the Carlos Condit is today that he was back then? I'll give you a prime example. I think Carlos Condit, to me, is probably 60 to maybe 65% of what he was before. What do you think? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I don't even know if it's 65%. As I just mentioned, saw a big diminishment in he's in there. He's in there fighting. He's having a good fight, but there's just something missing. Like you said, he's not the natural born killer anymore. I don't know what it is. I can't put my finger on it. And yes, some days you just show up and you're old, and that happens in the fight game. And I mean, Carlos isn't a spring chicken anymore, and you know, he's had a very, very accomplished career, you know, 33 years of age now. I mean, how long does anybody really fight at these lower weight divisions? It's not as if they're heavyweight and they can just go forever. I don't know. I don't know what to say about Carlos Condit, but I don't think he's even close to what he used to be, Tony, in my opinion.
And listen, I'm not sure Wikipedia is correct, but if they are correct, and they usually aren't, Alex Oliveira is only a blue belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu. So the fact that he was ever able to guillotine someone at that. By the way, we also need to check. Someone needs to verify Alex Oliveira's birth certificate, because if he's 30, then I'm 29. I mean, that's always talk about that. Let's go to the middleweight we go. Israel Adesanya, the last style bender, defeats Marvin Vettori. I thought that was a pretty good fight. I honestly thought it could have gone the other way. What say you? I think we saw that Israel Adesanya still needs a little bit more work before he's in the main event, or rather on the main card. What do you think?
I thought exactly the same thing. You know, if Israel Adesanya was able to put away Marvin Vettori, then we would have had something here, but he was not able to. And of course, and as we saw Marvin kind of looking better in the third, I know, kind of going to what he probably should have gone to the rest of the fight, you know, and try and work his game. There was a lot of things to be impressed by. And, you know, they mentioned that the comparison to John Jones and how Israel does not enjoy that, but he does have the unpredictability of a John Jones. He is throwing things that, you know, are very John Jones-esque. But like you said, Tony, probably needs a little bit more time in the oven before we give him. I mean, this basically was a regional fight. I mean, these two guys pretty much at the same skill level. This fight was obviously put together to make Israel look really good after coming off of that last win, but this didn't impress me much. I thought, okay fight, but I mean, like you said, I don't know if we need to see him on the main card, especially not the main card of a pay-per-view. I mean, maybe that would do something for his ego, you know, but this one here, this fight against Marvin Vettori wouldn't have been in the running for any kind of performance of the night bonus, that's for sure. But as I said, if Israel was able to take him out, we're talking having a completely different discussion today.
Yeah, not yet, right? I think he needs maybe two or three more fights. Yeah, and I think the John Jones comparison. No, I think you're being fair. I think that the John Jones comparison, I think it's really hard to live up to. It really is, right? Because he's just such a dynamic fighter. And I don't think that's very fair, but you're right. Everyone compares them. I don't think he's there yet in terms of even being compared, let alone, you know, having that, clearly not having that type of career, but maybe he'll stay away from the demons. So that would be a great thing. I'll tell you which fight I was really not impressed by at all. And I'm wondering if I really overrated Michelle Waterson. So to the women's strawweight, we went last fight on the main card. Michelle Waterson, who I have always been a huge fan of, defeated Courtney Cast Iron Casey. Huge height difference, right? Five, I think it was probably 5'7" to 5'4", 5'7" to 5'3". Split decision. I honestly thought Courtney Casey won that fight. Michelle Waterson was coming on later and looking pretty decent, but she was taking a lot of shots to the face, Proteus. A lot of shots to the face. Where I thought Waterson might actually get TKO'd or KO'd early. What say you about this?
Okay, so in my opinion, I didn't have a problem with the decision. I wouldn't even given it a split decision. In my opinion, yes, Courtney Casey was hitting Michelle Waterson and did stumble her a couple of times, let's be honest. But I thought that Michelle Waterson looked really good when she was on when they were the fight went to the ground. Again, Michelle Waterson is a 105er. She was the champion of Invicta at 105 pounds, and she's not really built for 115 pounds. And if Courtney Casey was, again, cutting weight to get down to this weight limit. So in just having said that, and as you mentioned, the height disparity as well, you know, Michelle Waterson was definitely working with a disadvantage, you know, with the height and the weight disadvantage. So considering all of those factors, I was really kind of impressed with Michelle Waterson. I mean, again, we had talked about maybe we were overrating her in previous fights, but I was fairly impressed with her performance, taking in those factors that I mentioned earlier on. And yeah, I didn't have a problem with the decision. I thought Waterson, you know, even she was in a fight, she's going to get hit in the face and she might get wobbled, but managed to control the fight and control the, you know, the range from the outside very, very well. And then when they were on the ground, I had her, you know, very impressed with what she was doing on the ground. So I guess we saw that fight a little bit differently. And I guess that's why judging is so all over the place, because it's very subjective.
Yeah, I wonder how much of that is me being a little overprotected on Waterson, because I do think that since she's been a mother and certainly has gone up in weight, like you said, she was an atom weight for most of her early career. Yep. She hasn't really been, I mean, she's obviously a beautiful woman with great legs, probably some of the best legs in the business, to be honest. But I just don't think she fights up. She's been fighting at her peak level. And I don't know if maybe her game hasn't necessarily improved. But she was started to do the oblique kicks later in the fight, in the second round, et cetera. And that was really being effective. But I thought early on, you know, she also has been, one thing that I forgot, Proteus, she's also a notoriously slow starter. So maybe you're right about that. Maybe I'm judging her a little too harsh. So let's fly through this, Proteus.
Before you move on, let me just say one thing, because you touched on how, you know, you're being overprotective of Waterson. I just think, Tony, if you saw her at her, the weight that she is most comfortable with, that you would see a better performance. When she's fighting these heavier girls, she has to employ a game plan that works for her deficits are. Again, we need to see a 105. As she mentioned on Twitter, the 105 pound division has more ladies than Chris Cyborg's division. Just saying.
You're absolutely right. And you're probably, you know, the height, the disparity or the difference between it did, and I forgot who mentioned it. It might've been John Anik. It might've been Dana White. It actually did look like there were two different classes, right? Like Courtney Casey was a 135 pounder, not even a flyweight. She looked like a 135, like a bantamweight fighting a strawweight. So yeah, I mean, you're probably right about that. Let's get into this, Proteus, as we're winding down this show. And of course, Thursday, hosted by the one and only Prados, will be, of course, Smack My Picks Up. We are trying to do a bump this week, so we'll see if we get to that. I'll try to see. Hopefully this week will be a better week in terms of news. We do have UFC Fight Night Barbosa versus Lee coming up. That should be a pretty good fight, Proteus. Let me tease that fight for you on Smack My Picks Up. So get this. Edson Barbosa, Kevin Lee, Edgar Swanson, Chase Sherman, our boy, David Branch, Thiago Sanchez, Aljamain Sterling, Brett Johns, Jim Miller, Dan Hooker, Bora, we've seen those two for years. Not a bad fight for freebie Proteus. This is a UFC Fight Night a card, 128. Not a bad fight.
Right.
Not a bad card. And
go ahead.
No, don't forget your girl, the Peacemaker, Leslie Smith, fighting Aspen Ladd.
Yeah, there's some interesting fights on this fight card. And, of course, we're going to have Showtime back, hopefully, on Thursday for Smack My Picks Up. This week, before you finish off the prelim card, Tony, and we get out of here, just let me update everybody. This week was basically a push again. The only one who was not in the running for winning this week was Pam, because she picked Gertz in the Chandler fight. And, of course, everybody picked Chandler except for Pam, but nobody got the round and method correct. So this is going to be a push because everybody picked Justin Gaethje. Everyone picked Carlos Condit. So no wins there. So a push again. Marco again rolls over being champion again. I'm sure we're not going to hear the end of it. But kudos to Michael Chandler for making the history books for the most winningest fighter in Bellator history. Good job, Michael Chandler.
One thing I will say, Proteus, Michael Chandler seems to be getting better as time goes on. And he's certainly stronger, probably more powerful now than he was, using his wrestling game a lot less. But boy, I'll tell you, he is looking better, isn't he?
Well, yeah, and of course, I think the fact that Gertz dislocated his shoulder in that fight made Chandler's submission look even more impressive, because he was unable to, as he had said in his own admission, he was unable to roll out of or defend himself in that particular position because he only had one arm.
I forgot about that. You're right. And that came due to the fall, I think, right before he choked him out. I think
that's probably
when it dislocated. That was brutal. All right. To the middleweight we went. Shoeface, Antonio Carlos Jr. defeated Tim Boach via... Wow. Tim Boach going out in a submission. Very durable, right? First round, 4 minutes and 28 seconds in. Muslim Sakilov defeated Ricky Rainey. KO. I've never heard of Ricky Rainey, so shout out to Ricky Rainey. John Moraga, the Chicano, defeated Wilson Reese's Pieces, Wilson Hayes, via unanimous decision. Boy, Wilson Hayes is certainly going down in his career. And shout out to Junkie Favorite, Brad Tavares, Proteus, defeating a really tough Christoph Yatko in the third round TKO. I thought that was a pretty good fight.
Yeah, and I'm you know me, I've been pushing for Yatko since he came into the UFC, and just has not worked out well for him. I took him in the in my pool as well, my picks pool, and just to say this, I did not have a good week.
Yeah, and three straight losses to David Branch, Uriah Hall, and Brad Tavares. Interesting to see what happens, because you know who can use them? Bellator can certainly use them. As we're going out, Proteus, bonus awards. $50,000, of course, Fire of the Night to Poirier Gaethje. And boy, Gaethje deserves that $50,000. That's for darn sure, because he took a beating. Performance of the Night, Cowboy, the unofficial Cowboy, Alex Oliveira and Adam, can you help me out with that one, Proteus?
Yeah. Yeah. DJ, who's your mama?
Mises Thank Rick. You. Yeah, All right, let's get
beautiful finish.
Let's
beautiful
get out
finish,
of here.
By the way,
it was a beautiful finish, right? But it's sometimes it's tough to see when people are getting. By the way, I do like these morning shows, and I know you can't do them, but these morning shows are fantastic. If, of course, I have coffee.
Well,
and if I'm not
the freezing rain that we got for 2 days, Tony, thank you to the freezing rain that we've been having for 2 days and well into April for this morning show, because, I didn't have to do any work this morning because it's all canceled. Sorry, I interrupted you.
Proteus, we're going rapidly into our second year.
Yes, sir. I'm excited.
How about that, Proteus? Wow.
Yeah.
As we're closing
we've come
the
a long
show,
way.
We have. The funny thing, that they say the one thing you can't teach is chemistry. We had chemistry from the get. So even with Joe, right? I mean, we had that chemistry. So, wow. It's amazing. It's amazing how things work out, because if I would have opened up the show with the two people that I first had in mind, we may not have been still around. So it's amazing how life brings you and what we get. So shout out to Proteus, second year. Raising the roof.
Sir, shout out.
All right, Proteus. So let's get out of here. Do you have a Twitter follow of the week? Because I certainly have one.
You have another Twitter follow of the week? Well, why don't you go first? Because I don't really have anything today.
I'll tell you who I want to follow. Not joking. Lauren Mueller, MMA. Boy, I'll tell you, she is the Princess Tiger. Here's the bad thing why I can't follow her. I'm not sure that this is her official Twitter follow, but it's at @princess_tiger_. Lauren Mueller. You certainly, if that's a real follow, you definitely want to follow her. Proteus, show of the week. Anything else? Anything you got?
I'm going to shout out Greenlight Vitality on Instagram, at Greenlight Vitality, one of our sponsors. Go check her out. See if you're doing anything wrong with your form when you're working out, because I'll just leave it there. Go check it out, Greenlight Vitality.
Shout out to Greenlight Vitality. Certainly shout out to Sarah, who's fantastic. And now, of course, the co-main event is brought to you by Greenlight Vitality. Proteus, we're out of here.
I like that.
Work out.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.